All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. January 21st, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. We are sort of in the bullseye for a potential snowstorm. And all eyes are on the radar. We'll see what happens. I saw somebody posted something. We are supposed to get 1 to 78 inches of snow here. So it is a little up in the air, but it does look like we are going to get some snow, which is cool. I'm sort of a fan. I don't know. I'm up in the air about it. It's, you know, once again, what does it do? It creates a lot of inconveniences for me, at least in my life and world, as far as work, you know. Appointments get canceled, and, you know, it's, of course, understandable, but it is what it is, and it can be an inconvenience, and, you know, yada, 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 but we'll have to see what happens. Cool thing is I do have a snowblower, which is great. I had the actual thing rebuilt, and, you know, I'd bought the snowblower a while back and used it. It's fantastic, and unfortunately, with those kind of things, they tend to sit for a while if we don't get any snow, and so that's sort of what happened. And, you know, ethanol gas will gum up a machine like that, and so I had the thing rebuilt this summer. Well, I actually had it rebuilt maybe 2 months ago, I guess, and it's all nice and fresh. I went out this morning, started it, first pull, very excited, and so we are covered there. We have anything that we may need. We have purchased, which is just some food and different things, but yeah, we'll see what's going to happen. Sort of exciting. I love, not as much now that I work inside. Back in the day, especially in school and when I was working outside, you know, it was always exciting to see a big snowstorm come because usually, you know, we'd get off from work or from school, and so that was always cool. Today, yeah, I do love it. It's cool. But yeah, not much has been going on. I haven't done the podcast in a while. My son's been down, and so he's sort of had the upstairs. And yeah, I haven't had a whole lot going on. Cool thing tonight, one of my guys I sponsor is celebrating 3 years. So I will be handing out his coin to him tonight, which is really cool. Seems like all the guys I'm sponsoring are all doing well. I'm not going to take any credit for that, but we are doing it together as a group. Like I tell those guys, we got to live these steps, right? We can work through them, and that's great, but we got to live them. And so he's doing well, so he will get his third year coin. I actually dug through my coin pile and was able to find an old 3 year coin. So you know, it's always cool when you can sort of pass these coins on, right?
Yeah.
Pearl Jam, Parachutes, Avocado. I don't know if that's a self-titled record. I know there's an avocado on the front. I always call it Avocado, but Parachutes, great album, great song. And I don't know if it's relevant to the topic because I'm not exactly sure what he just said, but great song. And the vibe felt right, so I thought I'd go with it. But yeah, big anniversary tonight. Very cool. You know, working with having the meeting at the house here on Sundays with the other couple guys I sponsor, and, you know, sort of trying to grind through this. I don't want to say that word, grind. Work through the fourth step. I think I shared before that we had sat down, and, you know, it's funny. You know, I work with a couple guys. They both celebrated a year this year. And there was somebody in the meeting that suggested to them, or actually told one of them, you need to get the fourth step done. And that is not my, I have no philosophy, honestly. That is not, let me see how I can say that. I'm not a big fan of feeling like I have to, or somebody has to get the fourth step done. I do believe it is very helpful in learning who and why we do the things and who we are and all that stuff. But to have to is putting it in a perspective of or else. And, you know, what I've learned through this time is that, you know, anytime that something is being done out of fear or self, it sort of misses the mark in my eye. So, you know, we've sat down and I said, listen, I just want to, let's just talk about it. Let's just sort of work through it. Let's start, you know, let's live the steps, as I've said before. Let's live the steps. And, you know, and they're like, yeah, let's do it. And then, of course, you know, I don't know how many weeks it's been, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, a couple months, few months that we have started this. And, of course, unfortunately, neither one has really done much because, you know, it becomes a task. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm saying that in a way that sort of I expected in the same sort of experience that I had when I went through the fourth step, because it starts to feel like something we have to do. And, you know, I do agree that we need to do it. I mean, it's, you know, we do the first three and then we got to get the fourth and fifth and, you know, but it's more for me about learning who I am and why it is that I do the things that I do, and at least being able to give these things a title, right? And so I said, you know, I met with them a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, listen, why don't you just pick four people, right? Just pick four things and sort of try to, you know, work through those four. And because I don't want to tell them, you got to get this done, right? I want to, because that's when I did the first time I did my four step, it was about, I had to, right? My sponsor's like, we got to get the four step done. And I did it and I ground through it and I don't recall really understanding much of any of the fourth step when I did it initially the first time. And that was probably inside of my first or second year, for probably, I guess, in my first year. And, you know, we met and made a list. And I, you know, I basically ended up sitting at a table with him on his back porch. And he basically kind of like, all right, who's the person? This is what happened. This is what happened. Okay, why? And basically did it for me just so that we could have it done. And like I said, I don't really recall if there was any real, you know, eye-opening moment during that early visit to the fourth step that I took from there. Anything positive? I mean, I'm sure I did. I can't, you know, that's one of the things. I don't really remember. You know, it was a hot minute ago. So, but the point was is that I did it because I was afraid, and I remember the vibe. Oh, the fourth step, the big scary fourth step, And, you know, my message to these guys is it doesn't have to be scary, right? This is not a punishing step. It's really about revealing why we do the things we do, right? I love the Mr. Jones, you know, how he hates the neighbor and he, you know, hates this and hates that. And, you know, it wasn't until he realized that, you know, the decisions that he made in his life earlier is what led him to be where he's at today. And it's real simple to sit back and compare yourselves and then be mad at the person that has made or done more with their life because they chose to actually go to school, right? They chose to not smoke pot. They chose to not drink and do all the things that I did. You know, they chose to take a path that led to at least an opportunity for success. I did not. my opportunities became very, very, very limited. And you know, I got what I got. But I could relate to that. I could relate to the Mr. Jones story because I was the guy that was always, you know, looking at other people, judging other people, because I hadn't done much. And, you know, it's a terrible place to live, and it's a terrible existence. And, you know, so I just, you know, we're trying to get through it. And so one of the things that came up, and I can relate, you know, as long as I've been sober and, you know, I'm on the bus or the boat to serenity and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, one of the first things that came up with my buddy was, is that his really inability to mind his own business, right? Mind your own business, mind your own. And that's a great message to him. And honestly, it's a great message to me. And it's probably, you know, I won't speak for anybody, but I'm sure most of us could probably have a lesson in minding our own business. Because honestly, you know, the times that we live in right now, I've never lived in a time where there's just so much information and so many angles and so many different people spewing different things. And I can't probably find a better time in my life to mind my own business. And, you know, politics have become, oh my God, it's, you know, I'll never forget the first time that Trump became president. You know, I didn't really have one thought or the other. I really was pretty unaware of the behind the scenes and all this different kind of stuff that seems to be taking place. I just remember he won. I was like, okay, Trump's the president, yada, yada, yada. And then this information started coming, and I just couldn't stop paying attention, and I couldn't stop minding my own. I needed to mind my own business, but I didn't. And I listened, and I remember this hate that came over me. And then, you know, fast forward, and here we are today, and it seems like to be the same thing, but times 10. And I just can't stop minding my own business. And what happens is that I become unhappy, really. And, you know, it was great to talk to him because, you know, unless you're a child, I mean, most young adults and most adults, we're all paying attention to the politics, it seems now. And of course he is, and, you know, he's a young adult and he's paying attention. But it was a great reminder that, you know, because this is how, you know, I worked myself out of a meeting, right? This is how I ended up picking up a drink, is because I couldn't mind my own business. And this is way, way before, like, the politics that we have today and the internet. You know, back in those days, this must have been 2000, right? We definitely did not. I guess we may have had the internet. I guess we had the internet, but it wasn't like it was today. And I think the biggest thing I was probably doing on the internet back in those days was stealing music, right? I forget the name of the site, but I remember I'd get up in the morning and I would, you know, pick Pearl Jam songs probably, you know, and download them onto the computer. And, you know, I'd wonder which ones went through. And then if I did, I would put them on a CD. That was how complicated my life was back in those days, was what cool music could I swipe from the internet? But, you know, today it's such a big difference. And, you know, it's real easy to get caught up. But, you know, as simple as life was back then, I got caught up in not minding my own business. You know, I've shared before, it was about how the meeting collected the money for the meeting. You know, I think typically we would most of the time pass a basket at the end of the meeting. And for some reason at this meeting in this new city, in this new state, in this new life that I was starting as a freshly sober person, for some reason it bugged me, right? I think they passed a basket in the beginning of the meeting. And who cares, right? Who cares? It's none of my business, but it bugged me, right? I couldn't mind my own business. And I remember saying, this meeting is too different, too weird, not like the meetings I'm used to. I'm going to have to find another meeting. And, you know, I didn't, right? And the next thing you know, I have decided to drink. And so, you know, today, fast forward, you know, listening to him and going, and he's young, right? Early, young guy, early recovery, first year. And, you know, he's starting to recognize, you know, and that was the conversation we had. How much of this is any of your business? And, you know, I think one of the examples was, you know, when he would start at work and, you know, this conversation he had had with the owner about when he needs to start, and then, you know, compared to when the other people needed to start. And, you know, I think someone said something, you know, maybe not too pointed, but enough to make him think, right? Like, oh, it looks like someone's getting out of here early or something like that. And, you know, it bothered him. And that would be, that is funny, because that guy would be one of the first things that we sort of worked through in a fourth step, right? And, you know, he learned that, you know, it's, yeah, I don't know. It was some great lessons to be learned in there, and I think he's made adjustments, and I think he now feels better about his situation. But, you know, one of the biggest things was, you know, why do we care what other people think, right? It's early on, it was told, what other people think of me is none of my business, right? But how simple is that? I mean, what a great solution. Is it doable, though? And, you know, we were talking about the monks that live on the mountain. I don't know if it's in Italy or I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere, and these monks live on the mountain, and all they do is just, you know, sing and you know, worship the Lord and work for the Lord, and they do nothing else. They have no radio, TV, nothing. You know, and they just mind their own business, which is, you know, serving the Lord or whatever. And I'm not sure I'm ready to get to that level, right? I am I'm just a guy doing the best he can, but, you know, and I do try to, you know, and I've definitely gone through an evolution in the last year and a half, especially through politics, that, you know, in fact, I was working the other day, and a lady came into me, and she was like, you know, so-and-so is doing this, and I can't believe he's doing this. And my new answer is, man, I hope they get it all figured out. That's it. You know, I need to mind my own business, and then I need to stop having opinions about things, because, you know what, honestly, I don't know shit, right? I don't know if I've ever had an original thought. I just gather information, and then I spew it back out. And, you know, it's not healthy for me, and it's not healthy for the people around me. And, you know, and I felt it, you know, in the last, because I will say, you know, back in the day when, you know, the president at that time was elected, I remember this slow evolution to this real hatred for this person, right? I was not a big fan of the president then. In fact, I hated him because I couldn't mind my own business, right? Like I have, when that lady said that, or she was saying something about he's doing this and he's doing this and things is happening, and I go, have you been in any of these meetings? I mean, were you invited into some sort of office to kind of listen to the plans of, you know, the government? She's like, no. And I go, right, exactly. I wasn't either. And so I'm having to stop being such an expert, right, a YouTube expert, and just mind my own business, man, and just let whatever's going to happen, and, you know, and manage the things that I can control. Manage the things that I can control. And that is tough, right? Because if I'm managing just the things that I control, I know exactly what's going on. There's no mystery, right? There's no debate, you know, and that usually would be like my family, right? And my job and my clients and, you know, the smile on my face, right? I need to remind myself this attitude of gratitude. Like, it doesn't take many, you know, off-distance stares to find, you know, unjust, right, and worry and fear. But if I stay in my square, right, if I can stay in my thing that I can control, it's pretty good, right? Because through the steps of this program and working with others and going to meetings and, you know, not liking when they pick up the money and liking this and not liking that and being able to, you know, realize that, you know, I'm accountable and honest, you know, all the things that I've fixed through the steps have made me or have given me the opportunity to live a peaceful life. If as long as I just stay in it and not into the rest of the world and what everybody else is doing and, you know, who's doing what. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's just an easier, softer way. And I have to keep reminding myself because it is, you know, it's easy. And there's so much information and TV and my phone and, oh my God, it's just, it's overwhelming. And then what ends up happening is I live in a place of fear. And when I'm living in a place of fear, then I'm living in a place of self. And when I'm living in a place of self, I'm not holding the hand of God, right? I'm holding the hand of the devil. And, you know, that's not good. And so, you know, it was a great conversation. We met, that was 2 weeks ago. We met this week, and he's like, all I can think about is, you know, me not minding my own business. And that's what's kind of cool about trying to live these steps as much as that we have to do these steps, right? Because, you know, when we met 2 weeks ago, he was getting frustrated and slightly annoyed and you know, getting caught up in the nuts and bolts of it. And then after having a conversation about, you know, trying to kick off this fourth step and trying to, you know, find the moment, what was it about? Pride, ego, whatever these things are, why'd we do it? You know, and putting a little sunshine on it, you know, we start to see it. And then when we start to see it, right, we start to get sick of it, right? We start to get sick of our own bullshit. And we met this week. He's like, all week, I'm like, God, mind your own business. Like, it was, you know, once you put the light on it, it's all you see. And so then he starts working on it. You know, is this any of my business, right? And that's how we grow, right? That's how we get better. Minimizing the amount of bullshit that we carry upon our shoulders is really what it comes down to. And, you know, like I told him, when you get into one of those situations, you know, pray about it, right? Dear Lord, my shoulders are not big enough, and I'm going to turn this over to you. And, you know, I don't know how much my shoulders can carry, right? I don't know how much his shoulders can carry, but I know that there's a lot of shit that doesn't need to be carried by me. And when that starts happening, man, it is a game changer, and it can really, you know, it starts to open up some other things. It's really, you know, for a person to say, wow, is this any of my business? I don't think so. That's accountability, right? And like I told him, a lot of the stuff, you know, that I found, like for this sort of situation, right, it still falls back under the third step, right? Am I making this decision to not get my nose in somebody else's business, right? And if I do decide that it's none of my business and I can recognize that, it does bring peace. It starts to build that relationship with God, that God of our understanding, right? I still am starting to understand what a relationship with God is. And for me, you know, and I've said it before, peace, love, and free of fear. And when we start getting in other people's business, it allows fear and non-peace, right, and opinions and thoughts and all this crazy stuff to come into our life. And it's just, it's not healthy. It's not spiritually healthy. But, you know, goddamn, I love getting involved, right? I love being an expert. I love a good chat, right? I love chatting with self-minded people or like-minded people, I guess, right? I love talking to people who are sort of like, or think how I think. I don't want to talk and have conversations with people that don't like how I think and don't think how I think, because there's an impasse there. I don't know what happened, right? Yeah, we've come to an impasse. And you know, there was a time early on I was like, well, if we just talk about it enough, you'll start to think how I think. And that's not fair, because people think how they want to think, and that is their right. And, you know, who am I to tell them, right, that they are thinking wrong? That would be not minding my own business. And, you know, there we go again. So yeah, it's a great topic. You know, I was reading in my, I'm on Facebook, and I follow a lot of sober, motivational kind of different things. And someone had written that someone that they knew who had just celebrated a few years sober, they found out that this person was also using cannabis. And, you know, I think that's always a topic. you know, that California sober, I don't, you know, whatever it is, to each his own, right? But I wrote, you know, one of the first things my sponsor told me was to mind my own business, right? It's like, and he did not say it in a mean way. I mean, I'm sure at the time I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you just said to mind my own business. But, you know, it wasn't said in a hurtful way, but it was like, you know, save your own ass, man. Mind your own business. Refrain from the pain of minding other people's business that brings you. And, you know, your life's enough to worry about, Tom. You know, you don't need to worry about other people's. And I'll never forget that. And so that's what I wrote in. I made a comment. Of course, not minding my own business, but I did like the, you know, I do, you know, I like the message, which is, you know, if somebody, you know, I could find 100 reasons why someone couldn't be sober, right? Under the rules, right, of this program. But it's all about unmanageability. It's all about, you know, I know people that, you know, haven't had a drink or a drug, but, you know, eat too much food, right? Or maybe haven't had a drink or a drug, but, you know, drive too fast or vape or have too much sex, right? Or spend too much money. All of the same sort of things that fall under gluttony. But it wasn't written, you know, it doesn't say in the 12 steps that you shouldn't, you know, have sex, or I guess it does. It definitely talks about sex in there. But, you know, vaping and these different things, and, you know, and it really comes down to unmanageability. You know, me not minding my own business is unmanageable, right? It's an unmanageable thing. And if it was a coin kind of thing, I'd probably need to pick up a coin, because, you know, I've been getting into other, focusing on other things and not just me. And it creates the same sort of, you know, shame and guilt and fear and worry that, you know, drinking and drugging used to do. And so, you know, the message was good then, and I think it's still great now, is like, to, you know, whatever this person is doing out there, you know, that's their business. That's their journey. Right. As long as they're not like coming into the meeting and like smoking pot or, you know, whatever. I would never imagine someone doing that. But, you know, I was at a meeting recently and a guy dropped a bottle of whiskey on the ground. So who knows? But the point is that, you know, that's their journey. Right. You know, I remember early recovery, picking up coins, but still being a liar. Right. Still cheating around. Still, you know, behaving in a way that wasn't godlike. And but still picking up that coin. I haven't had a drink and a drug. Right. So, you know, minding my own business is key. So let me read the daily reflections, and then I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not really, don't really have a lot going on. I was going to go to the noon meeting, but I'm going to go to the meeting tonight since my boy's celebrating. All right, here we go. January 21st, serving my brother. The member talks to the newcomer, not in a spirit of power, but in a spirit of humility and weakness. Alcoholics Anonymous comes of age, page 279. As the days pass in AA, I ask God to guide my thoughts and the words that I speak. In this labor of continuous participation in the fellowship, I have numerous opportunities to speak. So I frequently ask God to help me watch over my thoughts and my words, that they may be the true and proper reflection of our program. To focus my aspirations once again to seek his guidance, to help me be truly kind and loving, helpful and healing, yet always filled with humility and free from any trace of arrogance. Huh. Today I may very well have to deal with disagreeable attitudes and utterances, the typical stock and trade attitude of the still suffering alcoholic. If this should happen, I will take a moment to center myself in God so that I will be able to respond from a perspective of composure, strength, and sensibility, right? That's a great reading. Yeah. I always like when people share, you know, it's because it's like, you know, we want to tell everybody what to do, but we always say, for me, I don't know. Anyway, hey, I appreciate you letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day, and we'll catch you later. Bye. All of